Well, it's certainly good to be with you here tonight in the world-famous Mayville Meetings. It's become quite a yearly event, and I look forward to this event every year. Of course, being here at the local church and with the new plant in Corey. We were in Corey last night, and the glory showed up in Corey. Praise the Lord. And Jesus had some things to say and do in Corey, and of course here Sunday morning. But I really look forward to these night meetings, because not only am I here in the Mayville Church, but representatives from all the family churches. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with our family, and we're just going to get together and see what the Holy Ghost has to say. You know, I take ministry very important. Jesus told Brother Hagin that he has a plan and purpose for every service. There's something Jesus wants to say. There's something that Jesus wants to do. And it's our job as ministers to find out what that is. And Brother Hagin, you know, if you study his life and ministry, what an example. And he said this: it would have been awfully easy for him to miss the first phase of ministry. And been awfully easy for him to miss some of the leadings of God unless he took time to wait on the Lord. And, you know, I took that to heart, and I remember that. And so with these meetings, of course, I pray and say, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? And because we want to hit the mark. I don't know about you, but I hate going to service and going home and says, man, that wasn't it. You know, I rob the people, I rob me, and it just doesn't sit right. But man, when after you said what the Lord wanted you to say and do what you want, what the Lord wanted you to do, and you go home, you may be wired because the anointing's on you, but you're settled, man. We hit the mark. And so that's what we want to do tonight and tomorrow night, is to hit the mark. Well, you hit the mark by being here. Praise the Lord. I mean, you can't receive being at home. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to make a bad confession, but it seems like we always get our first no when we have the meetings here. It's sort of like the Chautauqua County Fair. You know it's going to what? Rain during the week of the fair. But we're not going to confess that. We're not going to believe that. Praise the Lord. But anyway, it's good to be with you. We got some things that I believe the Lord would want to bless us with. Praise the Lord. So you are going to help me. Amen. Praise the Lord, to get out all that God has. It's a little interesting what I feel led to do tonight. And of course, some of the things I share, you probably heard them over and over again. But the way that he wants me to put together is quite interesting. And so, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Be our launching pad. Ministering online several weeks ago in our Tuesday night service, and I'm just going to touch a little bit on that and just kind of use that as a launching pad to where we want to go tonight in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read in verse 1, once pages have stopped turning. All right. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, very familiar portion of Scripture. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Father, we're hungry tonight. Thirsting tonight. We want your plan. We want your purpose. We want your words. We want your demonstrations. Not our will, but your will be done. And Lord, as we open up your word, we thank you for the most blessed Holy Spirit. We invite him to be big, to give us revelation, inspiration, and demonstration. And we'll give you glory and give you honor and praise. Bless the people tonight that came out. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it reads this: and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts, we know in Acts chapter 1, Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples by many infallible proofs. For 40 days he taught them things, he showed them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And Jesus was telling them to tarry at Jerusalem. He gave them a promise of an outpouring of the Spirit, and he told them to get ready for it. Over, he said, you know, before you go out and preach the gospel, before you go win the world, you gotta get the Holy Ghost, and you gotta wait for it. And so he promised an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we just read here the fulfillment of it. When that day, the day of Pentecost, was fully come, they were all in one accord, one place, and we could read on. We know that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Acts 2:4. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance, and the world was changed by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The disciples were changed by that outpouring. And so we see this principle, a promise and a fulfillment. Or we can say a prophecy and a fulfillment. And we know that a lot of things have been prophesied concerning our day. You know, we can go through the Bible, where the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Even Acts chapter 2, we know it reads this: in last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I'll do signs and wonders and so forth. And it said before that great and notable day before the Lord comes. And so all these things by Scripture are prophesied. And of course, God has given us prophets. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, Dr. Dufresne, Dad Hagen prophesied about a last day move of God. So we see something that's been promised in Scripture to us, something that's been prophesied, just like Jesus prophesied to disciples. And here we read the fulfillment. And I like to look at it. And when that day of Pentecost was fully come. So in the mind of God, if we want to use the term sovereignty of God, God ordained the time of the day of Pentecost. That's when it's going to happen. That's when he was going to pour out his Spirit. That is when he ordained the fulfillment of that prophecy. But notice this, when that day came, we know that God is always on top of his game. You know, God's never late, never slow, never slack concerning his promise. But notice this phrase, and they were. And they were. So we see there's a God part and there's a man part to every move of God. God can want to do something, but he needs us as a church to cooperate with him. We understand this. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And we can see this in our normal bodies. And my head can say, you know, I can see that bottle of water that Pastor Jeff has. And my head can say, man, I want some of that water. But unless my body responds, my head isn't going to get what it wants. And so the same thing with prophecies and fulfillment of prophecies. God can ordain it. God could desire it. But he needs his body to respond. And what if the disciples heard Jesus said about the fulfillment of an outpouring, and they just decided, well, if it comes to pass, then I'll get in on it. If they just sat back and say, well, if God wants it, then it's going to happen regardless, and they just continued on their fishing and their business, they would have missed out of the outpouring of God. And so God fulfilled his part, but they were aligned to what God wanted. And so when they got in line with God want, hence the outpouring came, the fulfillment, the world was changed in it. And I believe that's exactly what needs to take place in our day. We heard the prophecies, you know, William Seymour, you know, talked about a 100-year prophecy. Tommy Hicks, if you ever read his vision, his dream. I mean, everything points to the day. I believe we are in the season, so to speak, of the day of Pentecost for this last day outpouring. If you follow Dr. Dufresne, man, he just would harp on it and harp on it. Brother Hagin would talk about it. Praise the Lord. And so many times we're looking, where is it? Where is it? Well, it's here. It's here, but we have to be in cooperation with it. And when we cooperate with God, that's when we start seeing the good stuff. And so we see that they were what? In one accord, in one place. And what I want to draw your attention to is one accord. How many of you can be in one place and not in one accord? You know, meaning they're all the same mind. And so how did the church get into one accord? How did they do it? Well, I'm so grateful the Bible always interprets itself. It asks the question, gives the answer. When we already have that answer in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Jesus gave the promise, gave the prophecy. Now, notice how they responded to that promise and that prophecy. In verse 14, these all continued with what? One accord. How did they continue one accord? In prayer, supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the brethren. And so that is how they got into one accord, by prayer. You know, as the body of Christ, we will never be in one accord concerning doctrine. You know, as long as I'm on planet Earth, they'll never be in one accord in doctrine, because I'm a stickler for doctrine. You know, in season, out, reprove, rebuke. You know, doctrine is doctrine. I don't move on doctrine. And, you know, other people, they won't move on doctrine. Our doctrine don't align with their doctrine. There is no unity of doctrine, but there can be unity of the faith. Unity, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He is what causes us to have unity, not our little differences. But notice what caused the one accord is when they were in prayer. When they were in prayer. That's what the church needs to be doing in these last days. Needs to pray. Now, what led to all this? Back in September, during in Fredonia, our Tuesday night services, you know, we were ministering and speaking and, you know, operate more in one office. And sometimes that other office, it just sneaks up on you. You're just minding your own business, and then the Spirit of God hits you and shows you things, reveal things. Things are spoken. And the Spirit of God came on me, and I saw in a vision before me, and I heard these words that our nation, you know, when we prayed, we got our current president in. I mean, that was an act of God. And there's some things I could tell you about that, that beforehand wasn't going to go that way. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me in prayer and says, I've heard the prayers of my people, and I'm turning it around. And he said this, it'll be like a coup in your government. You know, I'm working behind the scenes. And at that time, it looked like the other person was going to win. But the word of the Lord came true. And there's much I can say about that. And so, you know, through that office. But I saw, as we were in service, I saw that some of the things that God wanted with the Trump administration, our nation, to go, it was getting out of alignment. It was getting off course of some things. And I saw it, and I saw some other things concerning it. And so I spoke that out. I prophesied that. And so we begin to pray. You know, when you see things, how to get things in line, you pray. And so we begin to pray, we begin to pray. And I was about to close the service, if I remember correct. And then the Spirit of God hit me again. I fell over from the pulpit. And the Spirit of God says, not only is the nation out of alignment, but the church is out of alignment as well. And it says, man, I get the glorious job of being the bearer of good news. Have me in your church. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was just in Pastor Tim Pilarski church, and I had a really wonderful message for someone there. Was it? Pastor, where's Pastor Tim? Yeah. But you got to speak what the Lord gives you and give the warning. If I don't give the warning, then the blood will be on my hands, you know, and I don't want to be judged. And so from that time, I begin to pray. Whenever the Lord shows you something, it's not to entertain it. It's not for you to post on Facebook, for people to make you look spiritual. You see, you're spiritual. You know, it's to pray. And so I begin to pray about these things. And it was September 22nd. I had gotten up, and the Spirit of prayer was on me, you know, concerning the nation and so forth. And, you know, praying and praying. And if you know anything about my wife and I, and you hear my wife say this, that Friday is our date day. You know, because I get up sometimes 4:30 in the morning. I'll work from 4:30 until the time I go to bed. I love to work. I love what I do. But she has ordained, her and God have ganged up on me that Friday is our day. And she points to me and says, "You're mine." And I says, "Yes, ma'am." And so whatever she wants to do, that's what we do one day a week. And it's important for those of you that are married to have that date time and to guard it. It's not a matter of your schedule being filled. It's who's going to fill your schedule, you know. And so I woke up and I had the spirit of prayer. What the spirit of prayer is, when it's on you, it's the easiest thing in the world. And all you want to do is pray. And I'm praying. And it's a couple hours in prayer. And we had agreed that we were going to go into Buffalo, you know, take care of some business and go out to eat, go to the mall. That's her thing. And I enjoy it by faith, you know, all that stuff. Praise the Lord. But we were going to leave, I think it was 9:30, something like that. And it's 9:15, and I'm still having a burden of prayer. And I've learned by experience, when you have a burden of prayer, you don't want to miscarry it, because it's important. And, you know, I was travailing in praying. And, you know, my wife and I, we have this wonderful means of communication in our house. It's called texting. You know, my office is downstairs. The master bedroom is, you know, further, different level, the other side of the house. And I text you, I need help, because I know that sometimes if you get someone to help you pray those things out. And, you know, I'm getting nowhere. It's been a couple of hours. And I text her, and there was no response. She was walking the dogs. And so I said, Lord, it's date night. You don't want to get me in trouble. Date. So I dug deeper. Prayed, and finally I got a release. I rejoiced. And then I prophesied some things about the nation, you know, about some things, some adjustments, some corrections being made in the nation. And of course, when after you pray, there's lightness, there's rejoicing, there's shouting. It's a great, if you never experience a great thing, you know, to La hasukuya kunge ke do u. Da don do kushke la hakushke la la ho. These are the things that my spirit wants to instill in this generation. Things that can be lost that previous generations knew. The deeper things of the spirit. These things must be communicated. Things must be taught. And in times of prayer, these things must be caught. Hallelujah. And so I travailed and I rejoiced, and then my wife got the message, and she runs to my office wanting to help, because that's cookie jar stuff. I says, "Oh, honey, you missed it already. You missed it, you know, because some things were said that prophet about the nation." But I also learned this, that even though you have a prayer assignment and you finished, if you'll get in a little further and you show the Lord you're interested, sometimes He lets you get into the cookie jar. And so I said, "Well, honey, it's already gone. We took care of it, but why don't we go ahead and pray? And maybe the Lord will show us some other things." And so we got into prayer, we prayed. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, and I began to speak about the church. And He said this about the church, meaning the universal church, not just our churches. He said this: the church's part in these last days is prayer. And so I knew from that time that I've got to start talking more about prayer and getting more people to pray, even as the utterance of the Holy Ghost. There's some things that I've learned in prayer that unless people know about it, you just don't know it's there. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, I just want to share about my prayer journey. How I learned to pray, how I got into these things. It's a little different. You know, I've never gone that way. And so, but like the Holy Ghost said, you know, these things need to be shared. You know, there are some things we just won't get into because never been communicated. And so by the help of the Holy Ghost, we'll share along these lines. And so the church's part is prayer. And we understand faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. You know, you hear about tithing, and man, you get faith to want to tithe. You hear about walking in love, man, you just want to walk in love, you know, that type of thing. And so when you hear about prayer, hopefully you're going to want to pray. And I've always wanted my life in ministry to cause people to come up higher. There's a whole lot of voices that are going to bring you down, bring you more carnal. And it's so sad. There's a movement sweeping the church and the of God that are bringing people down spiritually, dull spiritually. And Jesus is coming for a spotless church, one that's looking for Him. And the Bible has many admonitions to watch and to pray and to watch. You know, and so we want to be a people that are doing our part in prayer. So I'll talk a little bit about my prayer journey. I'm going to give you some stories. And I learned this from Brother Hagin, and Dr. Dufresne would say this about Brother Hagin's stories. The nuggets are in the stories. If you'll listen to stories, there's something that you can learn, something that you can catch and learn some things by the Spirit. And hopefully we trust by the Holy Ghost, it will stir you to pray. You know, I was saved when I was 18 years old, and I'm not going to go into my past life. Thank God I got saved. That's all I'm going to say. My father-in-law found out of some of the things I did and who I was and how I acted. I was full of the devil, and he found out a little bit of it and got concerned for my wife. He was wondering if I'd ever revert to my old man. Thank God I never have. I've been saved. But, you know, just because you're saved doesn't mean your life automatically turns around. You know, the Bible says the entrance of His Word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. And it's more that you get your mind renewed and more you walk in the counsel of God that your life lines up to what He has for you. But I was very honored and very privileged that after I got born again, I had people immediately giving me good books and good cassette tapes. Now, for those of you that are younger, you can ask your mom or dad what cassette tapes are. Yeah. You know, I'm sure you'll see them in a museum or something like that. But I got this one tape, and I could tell you stories about listening to the Word, listening to Brother. That's how I got my call to Rhema. I was just listening to Brother Hagin, the name of Jesus series, just feeding on the Word, hungry for it. As the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. And I was just hungry and hungry. They fed me good things. And I remember just listening to know some dropped in my heart that I was called the Rhema. My destiny was being, what God had planned for me is being pointed as I gave myself the things of God. But I was so grateful that I got a tape. And this tape is someone that I really don't follow. But on this tape, they talked about praying in the Holy Ghost and the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, talking about, you know, their experiences praying in the Holy Ghost. And this minister said this, that they would encourage us or challenge us to pray at least 1 hour a day in other tongues. And you know what? I was just simple enough and hungry enough to start to do that. And my life began to change. I am so grateful for that tape because that has been a practice of mine. See, I'm 52, I was 19, so 32, 33 years of praying at least an hour a day in other tongues. And what began to happen is my life began to take on a super. Or I pray in tongues, the more things that would happen that were divine coincidences. Yeah. Like, I couldn't work this out if I tried. Yeah. And I just kind of, I'm at the right place at the right time. And see, I like to always tell that story because I'm hoping it stirs you to pray. To pray. You know, up this time, and I use this illustration, and Brother Hagin cured us of the fear of repetition. I heard every year, you take the same text, use the same examples, use the same stories, and every year I got stuff. And so you may have heard this, and I'm going to keep on saying it until I get a better illustration. My life until I started praying in tongues was like this. I'd go up to a door that I wanted to get into, something I wanted to do, and I'd go up to that door and would be locked. And it's locked. And I'd be frustrated. And I would beat the door. I'd get a crowbar. I'd kick the door. You know, I labored to get inside that door, to make something happen. And finally, after huffing and puffing and trying to blow that door down, I get it open, and it's a messy broom closet. Nothing's in it. That was my life. Things just didn't happen for me. It seemed like my life was cursed, that nothing seemed to work for me. But after praying an hour a day in tongues, and just praying, walking the road, Whitaker Road, praying an hour a day, it was like going into Walmart. Now, I know we're smaller towns, and when I tell the story in bigger cities, say, why would you go to Walmart? You have to understand, Fredonia, that's the only place you can shop. I have a ministry base in Walmart. I Sunday after church, I get to meet all the people that weren't in church and tell me all these wonderful excuses why they can be in Walmart and not in church. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing when Walmart came, you walk, and it wasn't a closed door, a small door. They got these big, clear doors. And when you step in front of those doors, you don't need to pry it open. They swing open. Whoa, look at that. Then when you walk in, there's more stuff than you can take home. See, God has an Ephesians 3:20 life for you. And for those of you newer, if you don't know what Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. It is yours if the price is right. And so I begin to pray an hour a day. You know, the good ones, Brother Hagin talked about the good ones, and he said of the would drive 100 miles just to go be with the good ones, to pray with the good ones. And he said this, there was only two churches that he could go into and immediately operate in that prophet's office. And one of them was the Good Ones Church. And so evidently the Good Ones knew a little bit about the Holy Ghost, the move of the Holy Ghost. And J.R. Goodwin, Brother Goodwin, Pastor Goodwin, said this, the door, tongues, praying in other tongues, is the doorway to the supernatural. You know, I've lived a natural life. I lived a supernatural life. Supernatural is better. I've tried to make things happen by my own might, my own power, my own wisdom, my own strength. But I also lived where the Lord opens doors that no man can shut. Supernatural trumps natural every time. You know, once you get a taste of this, nothing else satisfies. I mean, you get up in the morning and just say, I wonder what God's going to do today in my life. Man. You know, and you can live this way. It's not just for preachers. The Spirit of God on the inside, when you pray in tongues, you know, and we've taught along that line, you build yourself up spiritually, you talk to God. But the beautiful thing in Romans chapter 8, you pray out the perfect will of God. And God's will for you is awesome. God's will for you is Ephesians 3:20. If it isn't amazing, it isn't God. Well, my life is not too amazing. We'll give up your life and get into His life. Well, how do you get lined up? By praying in other tongues. And I love this, and I love sharing it, the testimony of Pastor Nancy Dufresne. An amazing testimony. Even though she was Miss Oklahoma, And, you know, here she had speaking engagements and she had a TV show, those type of things. She was in a bad relationship. And I think one of the worst things you can ever experience is a bad relationship. I think bad relationships very often could even be worse than physical sickness. And being a bad relationship, and she was all tore up on the inside, and it was losing weight, and because of that relationship, it was an abusive relationship. And she just decided, man, her life was a mess. And she just shut herself off, you know, and just spent some time praying in tongues. And I love her testimony. She says, when I started, there was nothing supernatural about it. It was just putting in the time. It's sort of like getting on the treadmill. When you realize you're out of shape, you'll get on there, and you get on there, and after 3 minutes, man, this is boring. Dear God, I hear pizza calling me. You know, that type of thing. And she said, you know, hour after hour, she would do hours a day. And she said there was no grace, no spirit of prayer. It was just, you felt every minute that you prayed. And she said after a few days, it became easier and easier. And we were just up with her in Canada, and she, I've been misspoken. I thought she did for maybe a week or so. She did this for 3 weeks. Just took that time out. She was in a horrible place in her life. And after 3 weeks of praying in tongues, praying the mysteries of God out, praying the plans of God out, giving herself to prayer, she went from a very bad relationship, very, very eaten up, things not working at all, being oppressed and depressed, where God supernaturally arranged for her to meet doctor. And hence, you know, things begin to happen for her. Of course, they got married. And look what she is doing today. She went from the pit to the palace. Why? She cooperated with God. She got in one accord to His plan. How? By prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Young people, pray. Stop messing with your life. Stop being childish with your life and just doing, you know, with all other kids. Take serious the plan of God for your life. I am so grateful at 19 years old, I took God seriously. I began to pray and pray. And honestly, I used to keep a log, and I'd write how many hours a day I'd pray. Hours. And I had friends that greatly discouraged me from praying hours and writing it down because they thought you're nuts. No, you ought to be doing this. You ought to be doing that. And they didn't understand. I'm hungry after God. I want God's plan. If I get His God's plan, I have plenty of time to do that other stuff that you're seeking. And I would pray hours a day. Just pray and pray. And I found this out. The more I pray, things would happen. And they'd be amazing. Just a little taste of things that would be a common occurrence. I remember when I was at Rhema, and I needed a job. And I just had in my heart that I want to be a gas station attendant. Why would I want to be a gas station attendant? Very easy. You sit behind a counter, and you take people's money, and you can study and read and pray. And it fit perfectly with my schooling. I went to school from 8 to 12. I went home, had lunch. Then from 2 to midnight, you know, I had the second shift. And at the second shift, there's hardly any customers. And for hours, I can pray and read my Bible and study. It fit wonderful. But this is the type of job I wanted. And so I was, you know, from my apartment going to Rhema, I was looking at gas stations, and something just on the inside of me after prayer, going to that gas station. And so I go into that gas station, and there's a guy behind the counter, and there's no sign says help wanted, but I'm going to ask anyway. He says, hey, do you need any help? And he said, no, we don't need any help. And right then, the telephone rings. But he went like this. Well, yeah. There happens to be a guy here right now. I'll send him over. This is the other station, a lot closer to my apartment, and says, looking for for someone for a job, and you know, and says, go on up there, you'll have a job. I went there, and I got my job. Was that just a natural coincidence or a God coincidence? See, I love that. I love stuff. I love getting God to mess in my life and just to do stuff to maze. That's why David was crazy about praising God. He was just, because God would just show up and do stuff for him. And we in the New Testament have a means, a supernatural means of communication with God, for God to get involved in the work. We know that God can do nothing for humanity unless we ask Him. And we don't know what to ask as we ought, the Bible says, but when we pray in tongues, man, we can pray out Ephesians 3:20 things. Right here is an Ephesians 3:20 thing. Now, I'm going to mess with your heads. Before I asked my wife out, I prayed for 4 months, hours a day. See, most people say, I like the way she walks. I'm going to ask her. It's got to be God. Oh, he's got three hairs on his head. Oh, yes. He goes to church and he raises his hand like this. He must be God. You sow the flesh, honey. Of the flesh you reap corruption. And the reason I took extra time, she was a sheep, I was a pastor. But I prayed hours a day, a couple hours, over this major decision. Because marriage will make you or break you. There's nothing worse than a horrible relationship. And I know this, that if I were to mess with a congregational's life and lead in a relationship that's not God, I would be judged of God concerning it. So I want to be very careful. And so I prayed. And I prayed 4 months before asking her. And you know, after 4 months of prayer, you know what God said about her? Nothing. And so after 4 months, I said, Lord, she's looking really good. And unless you give me a check, Mr. Ray, I'm asking her out. And of course, you know, we got married. But all that time, the Bible says when you pray, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Here I'm praying hours a day. And she's getting all the visions and revelations. And you ought to hear the testimony. I mean, she has a dream of me asking her out. God woke her mother up 3 times, gave her the same dream, and says, you're going to get married to that associate pastor. She got the handwriting on the wall. When it came to marrying me, God had to point signs. He's it. He's it. He's it. He's it. He's it. He's it. I'm here praying, God, what should I do? And I'm making this power available, and I'm expecting to be a recipient of this power, and God's giving it all to her. Yeah. Thanks. But I mean, no, being married to me, you need to know it's God. But why was our marriage so supernatural? We chose it to be. By paying the price, praying in other tongues. You know, when it comes to ministry, I was interviewed just recently, you know, people doing their doctorate, their thesis, and they come to me because we start churches, and the revival is, if you recognize or not, there's a revival in the family churches. We're growing, we're expanding, churches are shrinking. And the only place, you know, we're known all over the world except for here. People around here don't know what's going on, but people that look in say, man, it's awesome what's happening in the family churches. And so they interview him. And so they want to know my strategy. They want to know, my how I calculate and so forth. And they want to get the secret formulas. You know, and you know, someone who was very edumacated. And I'm me, farm boy. And I says, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I have no strategy. I have no, things that are working. I simply pray. And I obey what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. And it happens. That's how things happen. You pray, and the Holy Ghost will tell you what to do, and it happens supernaturally. See, too many times people, they pray for, oh, God, help me, and they're going to that door, and they're breaking, they're exercising the flesh, human will, human effort, human response, and nothing happens. But when God's involved, it is Ephesians 3:20, exceeding above all you ask or think. And this type of life is yours, can be yours, if the price is right. Now, why does the Holy Ghost keep having me to talk about praying in tongues? Because, you know, I'll talk about it, and, you know, for a few days, people get excited about praying in tongues. Man, yeah. Then about 4 days after Praying what? What? Who? Then weeks go by. Months go by. Years go by. You know, my pastors know when I talk, how much you pray in tongues, usually the normal thoughts, not enough. Yeah. But you can get in a place where praying in tongues is easy as breathing. And I found this out. If I wake up praying in tongues, it seems like the spirit of prayer is on me and I can carry out my whole day. And I'll just pray all day. There's been days I pray 12 hours in tongues. Oh, wasn't that hard? No. Is breathing hard? No, you don't go with breathing. Wait, hang on. wait, don't interrupt me. Yeah, the deep things. No, you breathe without thinking. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing, praying always. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so, the more I prayed, things came my way. Listen to what Brother Hagin said, and I love this quote. The greatest things that ever happened to me, the greatest miracles, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial miracles came after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues. Ministry today, what we're in, what we're doing, what we've been doing for the last number of years, came as a direct result of praying in other tongues. I don't know about you, but that stirreth me. Notice he says the greatest things that ever happened came after I prayed in tongues a lot. Miracles, healing miracles. And I like this, financial miracles. A lot of people are calling and believing God for money. Right and good. Pray more in the Holy Ghost and money will come. You know, I find it simply amazing how wonderful the Holy Ghost is. Jesus said it was expedient that I go away. Why would he say that? Because up to that time, to get what Jesus had, to see the miracles, to see the provision, to be healed, you had to go where Jesus was. When Jesus went away, that same Spirit that did the miracles in Jesus' life, that made provision, fed the multitudes, paid the tax money, you know, that same Holy Ghost is now in you and wants to do the same thing for you that he did for Jesus. The same thing. And I am simply amazed how much the Holy Ghost has me pray money in. And I'm almost embarrassed. I'll get in the Spirit and I'll pray and I'll interpret my prayers and the Holy Ghost will be calling money in. Just for me to enjoy. Jesus is a Lord of provision, a Lord of healing. Whatever you need, he's going to help you. He helpeth our infirmities. Man. You said, I read this. If you need healing, get in the Word, of course. Get in the Word, meditate in the Word, but pray in tongues. And I find this, if I'm meditating in the Word, I'm doing the Word, and I'm praying in tongues, if there's any correction I need to get my healing, I hear it after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues. Man. I hate to use it this way. You know what's a panacea or a cure-all for the Christian? It's twofold. Meditation in the Word. Word first. And praying in the Holy Ghost. Man, if we can get Christians to measure on those two things. You know, we know what the Word says. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And notice what it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You know, that'll trump schooling. That'll trump natural wisdom and insight. The Holy Ghost knows where the money is, knows where the supply is. But he needs you to get in one accord with the mind of God. How do you do it? By meditation. Getting your mind straightened out. And praying the plans and purposes of God. Praying it out. To me, it is a panacea. It is a panacea, man. And if you want change in your life, the answer is right underneath your nose and right above your chin. Yay. You always do what you always done. You always get what you always got. If I were to take a walk, I don't know what the name of the street is. Okay, this road here. And if I were to walk 10 minutes this way and 10 minutes back, the scenery would be the same. I always will see the same thing. But man, if I decide to go 20 or 30 minutes, I'm going to see things and experience things that I never saw before. And see, praying in tongues can be like Star Trek. To go where no man has gone before. And it's exciting. Yeah, did you ever watch Star Trek? No episode's the same. Man, they go to this planet, this experience. Wow, what's going to happen next? You got to stay tuned to next episode. See, that's the same thing in prayer. I wonder what's going to happen next. Next time, next session of prayer. Like Star Trek. So, I already can tell I'm going to have to bump this over to tomorrow night. And so, one of the greatest keys of life and ministry is praying in other tongues, praying at least 1 hour a day. And I started when I was 19 years old. Well, after, you know, I was 19 and, you know, I being supernaturally led and stuff like that, you know, praying in tongues, I got a job. By praying in tongues, I got a job flying hot air balloons. Yeah, I got a job, a farmer in Fortville, New York. Someone calls, you want a job flying hot air balloons, you get paid to travel the country and be making a whole lot more than I'm, you know, working hard on the farm? Sure. And I got to go see Rhema and stuff like that. Stuff like that is normal for someone praising tongues. But I got called to Rhema. And see, up to this time, my experience has been about an hour a day. And I thought, man, you've hung the moon. You pressed in. That's all there is of God. And man, it's good. Praying an hour a day in other tongues. But I had roommates, you know, at Rhema. At one time, we three of us guys shared a one-bedroom apartment. Very, very interesting. Three bachelors. There's a lot of stories I could tell you. But I had two in particular roommates, the tale of two roommates. My first roommate, I won't mention his name, was very carnal. He was worldly. He was raised in church. Great voice, great singer. And you know, me being holiness, I wouldn't watch TV. I wouldn't listen to secular music, and he did all that. And, you know, my job in his life, really, I convicted him. And he hated me. I would just show up and because my light shined and his didn't, you know. And Jesus said, don't be concerned, the world hates you. And he was full of the world. And, you know, he backslid, dropped out of the Rhema. But then before he left, he says, you know, Pastor, you're right. You're just simply right. I thought you were wrong. I thought you were too strict, so forth. You just see what my path led. Carnal, you sow to flesh, you reap to the flesh, corruption. And he said, you're right on. But I had another roommate, and I will mention his name. His name was Scott Oakes. He was from Vancouver, Washington. And I tell you, I've learned more about the Holy Ghost from that roommate than anyone else, outside of Brother Hagin being anointing. Now, what did Scott Oakes do for me? He enlarged my vision. Because I thought, you know, if you just give God an hour a day, I mean, you have maxed. I mean, you have arrived. You have won the gold trophy, the gold medal. That was it. There's no more of God there. But I found out with Scott Oakes that actually you can spend hours in the presence of God and actually enjoy it. And we had an apartment, you know, at Woodland Hills Apartments, right? In the Woodland Hills Mall, a lot of business went on in those apartments. Hence, the police were called often, and I had a lot of ministry opportunities there. Could tell you about some of them. That's how I learned to cast devils out, and when I saw people on drugs drug out for days and try to minister to them, you learn a lot. You know, they don't teach that stuff in Rhema. You learn in ministering to people. But we had an upper apartment. and it got known in Ramah circles as the upper room. Now, why was it known as the upper room? Because we learned what Brother Lawrence, we learned to practice the presence of God. And we got together and we would go 2, 3, 4 hours just waiting on God, hungry for Him. And I remember the first time being with them, praying with them, and worshiping God. And after the first hour, something came into the room, and I got scared. It was like I was underwater, like a cloud came in, and I realized I'm not in Kansas anymore. What was it? It was the manifest presence of God. And I've never experienced this before. And He introduced me to the Holy Ghost. Even though I was praying and seeing things, but the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the presence, the manifest glory. And it was in that upper room that I learned not just to pray, but I learned His presence. And that's what makes a difference in prayer, is His presence. Prayer should be in His presence, not just a practice. Up to that time, the hour of day was a practice, and it helped me as a young man. But the higher goal of prayer is not just something you do, it's someone you do it with Him. And the glory would show up. And there'll be times, and we just kept that. We had different shifts. Now again, I'm not saying this to draw attention to me. I'm sharing this to stir your heart. Deep calls of the deep. Every one of you that's born again desires more of Him. You know, it's like, you know, before you met your spouse, the way you got to know your spouse is you had to spend time with him or her. How do you get to know God? Spending time with Him. And we'd be up there. And I would have my shift. You know, he would have an earlier shift. And he would just be praying and worshiping God. And at times, he would pray and wear sunglasses. Why? The glory would be there. He would, kid you not, he would wear sunglasses. And I would come home and be slain in the spirit, and the glory of God be. And I'd walk in because, you know, I was just out of work at the gas station. I'd go into the bedroom, change, and I would join him. And reverse, then when he'd be at work, I'd be home. I would just be worshiping him, honoring him, loving on him. And then he would come home and he would do the same thing. See, God is real. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek what? Him. Folks that ask me, how can you pray for hours at a time? Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone on a date that lasted more than an hour? I mean, when you're in love, man. I remember, we're still in love, but you know, when you're younger, that lust turns into love. But you just don't know it's lust. But I remember when we were engaged, whatever. I mean, we spent the whole day together. And she was going to Rochester for her master's. And then I would drive home. The first thing we'd do is call. Yeah. And we just spend hours and hours and just want a little bit more time talking on the phone. Why? Your love. See, your prayer life is a reflection of your love life for Him. For Jesus. And Scott Oaks taught me that. And it was in those days, in his presence, learning him. Folks have often asked me, how do you know what the Holy Ghost wants to do in the service? To me, it's pretty easy. It's the same Holy Spirit that's in your prayer life that's in the main service. Folks that, when the Spirit gets them moving and they get scared, and what's going on? They really don't know him yet. All right, Reverend Scott, you know what you're going to do. Pastor, Reverend. All right. Okay, I got my back to Pastor, Reverend Pastor. Do the business. I know That is not my wife. I know it. Now, I can't see Reverend Scott, Pastor Scott, but I know it's not him. All right, very good. Not too long there. How do you know him? Spending time with him. Spending time loving him. And even if this is foreign to you, how do you get to know anybody in life? You got to start somewhere. You know, when the guy first asks out the girl, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? You know, stumbles and he's all nervous. It can be like that with the Lord. God, you know, that type of thing. And when you get to know him, it's Father. Father. And, you know, Holy Ghost, they think it's some type of weird thing. He's a person. I call him teacher because what you call him, he'll be. And he'll teach you all things in truth and is no lie. And so the stirring to prayer. And it was in those days that I would be caught up in the Spirit. And God would develop my gift. That I would be in the room and I couldn't wait to get home. And I would just get in the Word and get in prayer. And it was in those days I'd be caught up in the Spirit and God would show me things. And I would have experiences very similar to young Samuel. Remember, the Lord would call to Samuel and Eli couldn't hear it. And I would see and hear things. I mean, in heaven, everything is so loud and clear in the spirit realm. There's no, you know, what? What was that? Repeat that again. It's, you know, the Bible says when the Lord speaks, it's like the roar of many waters. And I would hear things. And I said, man, it's going to wake up my roommate. And I'd ask my roommate and say, did you hear anything last night? He said, no, I didn't hear a thing. And the Lord began to develop my gift. You know, all of us have gifts and talents. And the greatest way to know what they are and get them developed is in His presence. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Praise.